Cozy TV.
Here we go again. Another day in Eon 3. We're going to make it through together. That's the only way we can do this is together. Unity of the Spirit. Keep the unity of the Spirit. Focus on the work of Christ. And use the things that God has given us all richly to enjoy. I'm talking about your crutches. Talking about your chocolate, your coffee, your cigarettes, your YouTube, your video games. We live in extraordinary times. And I don't know how as many people survive as they do. In other words, why don't more people kill themselves in the world? I'm not recommending anybody do this, but to me, it's amazing. I mean, the numbers as they stand are remarkable and shocking, but I'm shocked that it's not more. So you're getting down on yourself for having a drink or having a toke or having a smoke or telling a joke? Come on now. Show me in the scripture where any of these things are sins. Not telling anybody to sin, but God has tendered us, given us all things richly to enjoy. Don't be squeamish about using them. I've always had this scenario in my head where we're going to get to the pearly gates and we're going to complain about how hard life was and the kids just don't understand. Sorry, that's a Monkees reference there. Pleasant Valley Sunday. And God's going to say, I gave you chocolate and The Simpsons and cigarettes and alcohol and Kratom and Doritos. And you couldn't make it with that? You were squeamish about it or what? You were afraid to use? But Lord, these are weird things. They're strange things. People in the old days didn't have Gilligan's Island reruns or Three Stooges reruns or game shows or video games. They didn't have any of these weird things. And our Lord's answer would be, well, they didn't live in your weird times. Weird things for weird times. That's how I look at it. Just some advice from your friend, Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. I'm finally going to get to a couple questions that I've been wanting to get to for 2 weeks from a young man named Nathan Tittle and Joe Monaco. Yes, these are the trailing edges of the subject of death. I'm going to move on. I'm getting tired of talking about death. Actually, I'm not. If the need was there, I would continue to talk about it. But I think we've covered a lot of ground, and we're going to cover more ground tonight if I ever get started here. No, but I think what I said was pretty decent. I think it's important. I'll put the verse down there. I probably already have. God give us all things richly to enjoy. So we need them. God knows we need them. But the first order of business is to break this big news here on MZTV, and that is my book, Christianity's Final Solution, is finally, officially up for sale. Go to my website, martinzetter.com. You can click directly on, there's a picture of this book on the homepage. Click on that, and this is a 92-page book with illustrations. Of course, I wouldn't write you a book without illustrations in it. And this is an important book because this is the book to distribute generally. To just, like, I wish I could throw thousands of these from airplanes. Because this hits Christianity at their weakest point. And their weakest point is eternal torment. Even they are embarrassed by eternal torment. The subtitle of this book is An Analogy Between the Holocaust and the Christian Teaching of Eternal Conscious Torment. I've talked to you about this before, so I'm not going to spend time doing it today. But I will read the copy on the back of the book written by yours truly. Here it is. And then please order it. Unbelievers are to Christians what the Jews were to Hitler's Reich. Evil expendables, undesirables, fit only for punishment. The Jews must be punished for their lack of Aryan blood, the unbelievers for their lack of faith. In both cases, it is a final solution. Anyone working toward either solution in whatever capacity is complicit and must blindly accept it as, quote, God's way. But what if this isn't God's way? What if God and Christ are better than how the Christian religion has for centuries portrayed them? What if God and Christ are better than Hitler, Goebbels, and Eichmann? What if the doctrine of eternal conscious torment is provably wrong using evidence from the Bible itself? And this is a shocking book. When I saw the truth of the final solution, I instantly drew the analogy between Hitler and the Christian God. What does Hitler do about the Jewish problem? It's a problem. It was a problem to Hitler. Kill them all. What does God do about the unbeliever problem? It's just an unbeliever, those stupid, stubborn unbelievers. They're wrecking everything. We could all be happy in heaven if it weren't for these damn unbelievers. We've done everything we could. We've tried cajoling them. I sent my son to offer salvation to them. They're just too stubborn, so it's a problem. So God says, I'm going to torture them for eternity. Ooh, really? Not even Hitler did that to the Jews. And feel sorry for the poor Jews. They will long, when they get into the hands of the Christian God, for not having faith in Jesus Christ. And every Christian will tell you the Jews are damned to hell for eternity. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. When these Jewish people are in the hands of the Christian God, they will pine for the days of Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. They will pine for the days of Eichmann, Hitler. It's just incredible. The analogy is sound. It is logically presented. It details the life of Adolf Eichmann. And he said, well, I didn't kill anybody. They captured him after 20 years. He was on the run. He escaped the Nuremberg trials. They found him in Argentina in like 1962. Took him to Jerusalem, I think. Either that or Tel Aviv. I can't remember, for trial. And his defense was, I never killed anybody. I was just doing my job. He was the transportation czar. He brought the Jews to the killing camps. I never killed anybody. I never pulled any switches. But he was guilty by complicity. And they tied a rope around his neck and pulled out the floor from underneath him. And I'm telling you, an equally frightening fate awaits those who have taught the doctrine of eternal torment. And I have been warning these Christians, especially the teachers, for years, that there is a reckoning coming. The judgment of God is coming. These people have never worshipped the true God and the true Christ, because neither the true God nor the true Christ would torture for eternity their enemies. Christ was crucified so that he could save the human race. Every time I think of this, it's just, I mean, this is a book you can read in 45 minutes. You can put it in your pocket. You can distribute it. Order 10 copies. I gave 300 copies of this away at the last conference in Georgia. I mean, this is a shocking read. And believe it or not, in the end, I do a short teaching on the eons and on how the three different Greek words have been mistranslated hell. So there's a study in the back. So not only do I highlight the problem, but I give you the solution. I give the reader the solution. And it's not the final solution of the Nazis or the Christian God. It's the true solution. God's true solution is to reconcile everything to himself. This book is now for sale. It's only $6.95. money well spent. Buy 100 of them and just stealth evangelize. That's what I call it, stealth evangelism. Drop them off places, sneak them into libraries, into bookstores, or the dentist's office, the doctor's office, the bus stop, the subway station, bus stop benches. That's a good place. Grocery stores. You will all be stealth evangelists. Also, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God is back in print. This was my first book. It is considered by many, including myself, sorry, a classic. And concerning this book was reviewed by several organizations back in 2000 when it was published. Michael Carson of the Midwest Book Review said this about it: confronting hypocrisy, contradiction, and cult overtones in modern-day Christianity head-on, Zender raises serious criticisms without renouncing true faith. A truly fascinating book. And Dwight Green of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram said this: a provocative intellectual romp. You need to read this book. So, back in print, order How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. I wrote this book first because I think that the issue of church is the first thing on people's minds. They feel like there's something rotten in pew land, which is what I say on the back of the book. Something rotten in pew land, but they don't know what it is. This book explains to them what it is. The subtitle is Why Going to Church Today is Unbiblical, Unchristlike, and Spiritually Risky. This, my friends, is the 1-2 punch, and they're both for sale now at martinzender.com. Thank you very much. Now, a young man named Nathan Tittle wrote me a while ago. He calls himself the Natrix Undone. And this was on MZTV 1565. This was the show titled Death is Not a Transition from Death. And Nathan said this: I'm glad you made this video, Martin. You made me tackle something I haven't fully understood. This is a 27-year-old man, as you will find out when I read his next comment from the following day. But let's get to his question first, and then we'll learn a little bit about him. I love introducing you to new believers. If he was sitting here next to me, I'd give him the big interview. I'm glad you made this video, Martin. You made me tackle something I haven't fully understood. What does Jesus mean when he says some will go into the fire / eternal destruction and some to eternal life? There seems to be this theme in the New Testament that you either come into life or you go to hell. Up until this point, I kind of assumed hell was a place of purifying fire where eventually the lost come to Christ. Are you saying that some will be raised to aeonian life in the next eon and some will stay asleep until the resurrection, where all will eventually come to Christ? Confused on the timelines and where people go, if not the 1,000-year reign here on earth or aeonian life. Okay, that's a loaded question, a lot of different moving pieces there. I'm going to get to all that today, if you can believe it. Will I get to the comment of Joe Monaco about whether the dead exist? Well, we'll see. We will see. Now, in the next day's show, I referenced Nathan's question, and he said this: thank you for taking my comment on hell/eternal destruction, Martin. The Lord led me to your videos a couple of years ago when I started questioning my Reformed Baptist upbringing. Have always second-guessed my salvation and had a difficult time truly resting in Christ and the life he offers. I'm coming to a fuller assurance of faith, but still wrestle with what happens to those who die, quote, outside of Christ, and even to those believing in Christ. I'm praying for the Spirit's discernment and know what you speak on is what I need to hear. I am relatively new to all this, and I'm turning 27 next month. Is your birthday in October? Mine's in October. I'm really looking forward to what you go over on Monday. Thank you, Brother Nathan Tittle. I'm glad you put your name there, Nathan. And it is so great that you're watching the show, and you have a warm welcome from everyone here. Greetings to you. And I'm sure in the comments, everybody's going to say hello to you. And it is so nice when someone new has legitimate questions. And obviously, if you've been watching the show for even a short period of time, you know that there are answers here. That's the beautiful thing, is that almost all of our questions have answers. It's just sometimes hard to believe the answers. They seem so fantastic. So what did Jesus mean when he says some will go into fire / eternal destruction and some into eternal life? You're referencing here Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations when Christ returns and he separates the sheep nations from the goat nations, and he determines where he will distribute them on the earth. Christianity makes this the final judgment, even though most of humanity is not even alive when this judgment takes place. This has nothing to do with eternity. And if Christianity knew what I'm about to tell you, this whole dichotomy of either eternal hell or eternal heaven would disappear. Let me say it this way, and I really think for those in the audience who have known these truths for a long time, I think I'm going to say it in a way I have never said it before. I wrote down some notes on this, and when a question comes up on a subject I've dealt with like for years and years and years, I'm always thinking to myself, God raised this person up to ask this question. And this question is for my sake also. And there's some new wrinkle here. There's something new that I'm going to see. Even though I've been teaching on this for so many years, there's something I'm going to see that I haven't seen before. And there's a way I'm going to say it that I haven't said it before. And even people who have been following this channel, this teaching for years, they're going to hear it in a way they've never heard it before. And it's going to click. So I want everybody to think about it this way. The Christian dichotomy, their either-or choice, is heaven or hell. That's how their minds are wired because of the false teaching that they've been brought up in. It's heaven or hell. Where are you going to go when you die? Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? And the issue, the time issue, if you want to call it that, is always eternity. Wherever you go after you die, either heaven or hell, it's going to be for eternity. So this thinking is riddled with problems. Number one, heaven or hell is not the scriptural dichotomy. It's not the either or options, if you will, or choice of the what the Christian religion makes it. The truth is, the two options are either death or life. Not heaven or hell, but death or life. Because there are many who will come into aeonian life who will not be in heaven. They will be on earth. So they will still have the life. But the issue is not, are you in heaven or on earth? It's, do you have life? And the only other option against life is death. Okay, I'm going to come back to that. Put that on hold for a second. What really screws everything up is the entrance of the word eternity. The Christians think of everything in terms of eternity. And that, if you're coming into Scripture thinking that the Bible is all about eternity, you will never come to a realization of the truth, because you will see the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the disciples, the announcing of the circumcision announcing of the uncircumcision evangel by Paul, the exhortations, you will see all of that as having to do with your eternal destiny. It's not. It has to do with life and death for the eons. So let me go back and say it this way. The Christian either or is heaven or hell, and their time frame is eternity. You're either going to go to heaven or hell for eternity. The truth is, it's either life or death, and the time frame is the eons. That's how I want to say it. There, there. I got it. There, the true time frame is the eons. I've told you many times of the church sign I saw. It said, where will you spend eternity? There's the Christian mindset. They're obsessed with a concept that's really not in the scriptures, which is eternity. The human mind can't even wrap itself around eternity. Where will you spend eternity? That's not the issue. The issue, the what we don't know is, where will you spend the eons? And of course, it all comes down, Nathan, to a mistranslation of the Greek word aion. Simple four-letter word, A-I-O-N. And there's a beautiful transliteration. That is, there's a beautiful English translation that practically brings the Greek over directly. And it is eon. And it's a period of time. And that is the key to everything, my friend. Once you realize that the preaching of Christ on earth was not about where you will spend eternity, but where you will spend the eons. And the preaching of his disciples and the preaching of Paul, it all has to do with aeonian life. Where will you spend the eons? That's what we don't know until someone gives evidence that they have a God-given faith. The fact is, and here's something that Christianity doesn't know, and this should be set in your mind, Nathan, immovable, is that every single human being will spend what they call eternity with God. Only I want to take another word, a scriptural word, and substitute it for the word eternity, because, shocking, the word eternity and eternal do not appear in the scriptures at all. Nobody is said in the Word of God, anywhere in the properly translated scripture, no one is said to have eternal life. The word you're looking for, and the word that's going to help you understand the whole plan of God, is the word immortality. Immortality is not being able to die. The way the scripture expresses endlessness is with the negative. In other words, there's no positive word for eternal or never-ending, endless. But there is a word that is concerning our life. But there is a word, but it's stated in the negative, and it's the word not die. And that word is immortality. It means not die. And if you not die, then you will not die. And if you not die, you go on and on and on and on, don't you? So that is, in essence, eternity. But it's not stated as eternity. And the one passage of Scripture, there are many passages in Scripture Christians don't believe, but one of the biggest ones is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 22 through 28. Nathan, you need this. This is a go-to passage because this proves that all humanity, every single human being ever born, will I was almost going to say spend eternity with God, but then I'd be going against what I just told you. Let me put it this way. Every human being ever born will enjoy immortality. And when I say immortality, I don't need to say eternity. Because immortality is, I think the literal elements in the Greek are undying. Undying. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for even as in Adam, all are dying. That's that mortality coursing through our veins that irritates the hell out of us. Makes us weak, makes us not able to do what we want to do. Even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Vivified is not mere resurrection, my friend. Not mere resurrection. Vivification is being given life beyond the reach of death. And the result of that is immortality. Yet each in his own class, the first fruit Christ, thereupon those who are Christ's in his presence, thereafter the consummation. Consummation is the end of the aeonian times. What happens then? Verse 26, the last enemy is being abolished, death. There's going to be a day when there's no more death in God's universe. No more dying, no more death. And when there's no more death, then there's nothing but life. And so that ties in very nicely, very beautifully, with people who are immortal, doesn't it? And what's the result of that? God will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. God will be all in all. This is the key that Christianity cannot find. They have been completely blinded to the truth that whether anyone believes in this life or not. You see, in all these exhortations in the scripture, believe, believe the gospel. Jesus said believe. Paul said believe. What does that get you? If you believe, it gets you aeonian life. It gets you an early life. But it does not rob you of immortality. And I'm talking about immortality with God. Where do you get that verse, Martin? 1 Corinthians 15:28. God is going to be all in all. In other words, God is going to be everything in everybody. He's going to be everything in everybody. So there's nobody living for eternity, living an immortal life. There's no one possessing immortality who's going to be in some terrible fictional place of terror and torment. No. That would not be God all in all, would it? So whether people believe or not, the fact that they are descendants from Adam guarantees that they will be changed by the cross of Christ. Descendancy from Adam is the key. So how do we know if someone is going to spend eternity with God? I'm just going to put it that way for the sake of the argument. How do we know? Christians would say, we only know if they believe or not. No, that's the mistake. No, whether they believe or not, that determines where they spend the eons, whether they believe or not. Belief has to do with, do you have aeonian life or will you be dead for a period of the eons? The real question is, where will you spend eternity? Like the church sign says, I know that everyone will spend eternity with God because the criteria is descendancy from Adam, not whether they believe or not. It's descendancy from Adam. That's the beautiful thing. Who has escaped descending from Adam? Let me read that again, Nathan. For even as in Adam, all are dying. No exceptions to that. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Again, vivified is a great word. It's not mere resurrection. It's given life beyond the reach of death. Adam is the channel that brought death to all humanity. And Christ is the channel that brings life to the same all. This verse is proof that every human being that ever lived will live for eternity with God. They will be granted immortality again because death will be abolished and God will be all in all. So the big verses you need in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, verse 26, and verse 28. Get out a notebook, write this down. This is important. Yeah, you could write down verse 23, each in his own class, the first fruit Christ. Not everybody gets this at once, you see. Adam and Christ are the two representative men that affect the entire race. Adam for death, Christ for life. The result, God all in all. So everyone spends eternity. So again, I'll end the way I started. The false dichotomy is heaven and hell. That's the Christian either or. Either you go to heaven or to hell. That's not true. And you go to either place for eternity. The issue is life or death. Will you live or will you die? And the time issue is the eons, not eternity. Eternity screws everything up for them. If you want to put it this way, and I will at the end of the show here, everybody lives with God for eternity. They make that an if-then proposition. Where will you spend eternity? Duh. Everyone spends eternity with God because of these verses I read you in 1 Corinthians 15. Not everyone is alive during the eons. Believing in God and Christ is a gift, and it gets you aeonian life. You come in early. But in the end, everyone comes in. Nathan, I'm really glad you asked this question. I hope this has been satisfying to you. Go get my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell. It explained to you the whole judgment of the nations in Matthew 25, and it will give you a word study on hell, a word study on the Greek word ion, and it's going to be a beautiful thing for you.